The first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with willow and leather ever since. Now, Ashes-winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior Waugh have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Another week of Willow Talk. Mark Junior Waugh, Graham Swanee Swan in the UK, Matthew Hayden, Byron Cook over here. Boys, we
yes.
have two. I reckon, on a cricket fan's wish list, these two would be right up towards the top, and we've got them both on the one show. How good is it, Haydos?
No, they're Victorians. We've got to love that, don't we? Yes.
I think that was Bill Laurie, was it?
They're both Victorians, you're right. Who have we got coming
they're
up?
Heavyweights. Yeah. Heavyweights of the game.
Big guns.
Yeah, Victorians. Shane Warne, big Merv Hughes. Well, he's massive in Victoria. Massive at the MCG.
Who's that? Is it Daryl Eastlake?
No, I wouldn't know. That was me, mate. I was just having a bit of fun, Junior. Oh. That's what we're supposed to do here, aren't we? Yeah.
I don't think you Queenslanders like the Vics too much. Is that right?
Mate, this is probably the only thing that you and I got in common, I reckon.
Yeah.
New South Wales and
Mexicans.
Queensland, we do not like the Victorians.
Exactly.
Guys, the only former cricketer that does impersonations on this show is, in fact, Graham Swan. So,
yeah,
Haydos, that's Swanee's area.
I'm happy that someone's trying to learn. It's
a long way to go, isn't he?
I can't believe he's trying to pull that out live on my show. Unbelievable scenes.
Okay. So Swanee does a very good Kevin Peterson, as we've learned. He does a very good Jeffrey Boycott. Can you give us a clue as to what might come up in the second hour when we play Swanee's Wrongin, your impersonation segment?
I tell you, he's a bit left field. He's one of your countrymen, and he's won the Ashes.
Okay.
Interesting.
Well, we look forward
all right.
to that.
So that's coming up a little later.
Could be one of about 5,000, though.
Shane Warne in the second hour. Warney on the show, and right up next, he's coming up. Merv Hughes joins us on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk. Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden, and Graham Swan. Our next guest played 53 tests for Australia, 212 wickets, and he was one of the favourite subjects on any 12th man CD.
And the big crowd comes alive. Tremendous atmosphere here. They cheer on the Victorian hero, Big Merv. They love this man.
Nearly as much as you do, Bob.
Body oath, Tony. He's a Victorian. Marvellous competitor too, Mervyn Hughes. Tremendous athlete.
Merv Hughes is on the show, guys.
Hey, I am Merv.
G'day, guys. Spread far and wide, you blokes. I thought you must have flown Swanee out especially for the show.
No, we don't like him that much, mate. We actually safety in numbers at this stage.
He wouldn't get through customs anyway.
Definitely down the line in the UK studio, Merv.
Hey, big fella, I've just been doing my extensive research on your Wikipedia here, and when I go down to career and the stats and the childhood, and that's all good, but then it goes into personal life and later career, and the first sentence is, Hughes was notorious consumer of alcohol and food. Can you just dispense with that rumour right now, Hilly?
I got to go with that. Still dispensing of beer and food at the moment. Giving it a real hammy.
Hey, Merv, you're over there sitting with your tour group. How do you go when you're sitting next to the Barmy Army and they start giving our boys a bit of lip? Do you start to bristle? Does the moustache
get the heckles
start
up?
To bristle? You want to sledge a few people? How do you go sitting there all day?
Mate, you got to be fairly quiet. Hey, I'll probably just go for a walk down the back. If they're getting too noisy, I'll probably just get up and go for a walk down the back and sort of get out of the eye line.
Just get a couple on a headlock out the back there.
You wouldn't mind shoving a couple of pints down a few of their throats. I love that. I love the Barmy Army when England start doing really well. They start singing, "You're not singing anymore. You're not singing," and you think, well, when the bloody hell were we singing? Aussies can't sing. We don't sing. That's it. That's our problem.
I was at Edgbaston as well, of course. We actually did a dinner together, me and Merv, the day before the game, which was a massive thing for me.
Who aren't you doing a dinner with?
Well, no, we're cashing in. Don't you worry. You're the mugs. You're the mugs sat there in Australia. We're all on the gravy train over here. Woohoo! Coming to a station near you. But it was great for me to have Big Merv. And some of those stories you told us that night, Merv, that one about Javi Miandad is an absolute belter.
I reckon it's the most told story of all time. We did a night at Lord's for Warnie. And who's the bloke that faced Brett Lee that copped an absolute pizzlet in the net?
That's your mate, Toe Jam.
Oh, Piers Morgan, toenails.
Piers Morgan. Yeah. Piers Morgan. So Piers Morgan introduced us, and he said, well, what we're going to do is each tell a story. And I thought each of the players were going to tell a story. He introduced us, and he told the story. And you're sort of sitting there thinking, what's he just destroy this Jarvid Mandat story, thinking, geez, mate, I've had 300 beers, and I could tell it better than that. He was
Oh, we should tweet Piers Morgan with that one from Merv. Merv, have you got time? Have you got time for a bit more of a chat here on Willow Talk, mate? There's plenty more. We want to go back to the good old days if we can. Can you hang around for a second?
Yeah, no worries at all.
Merv Hughes is our guest. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Graham Swan, and Matthew Hayden. Merv Hughes is our guest. It is Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Graham Swan, and Matthew Hayden. Merv Hughes on the line. Haydos.
Yeah, well, we've got, as you know, Hilly, we've got Mark here, who's a current selector, and he's playing the blame game all over the place, as per usual. But
blame for what? What am I?
It's always someone else's fault. It was the same with your bat. If it wasn't something else, mate, you'd blame anything but you. Okay, so just
Haydos, settle down, Haydos.
Yeah, you've got to go easy on Junior.
Right, okay.
Because when we can't get stuck in the junior, obviously there's a huge rift between the selectors and the captain.
Apparently.
Because every time I hear the captain speak, he distances himself from the selection.
Yeah.
Now, when I was a selector, I used to get on really well with the captain.
Yeah,
and virtually what the captain wanted, he got. So obviously there's trouble in the camp.
Yeah, but Merv, you're a good selector. You're a good, selector, Merv. That's the thing, right? I just want to take us back to the
junior. If you're so good, why isn't he a selector now? If you're so bloody good,
one, I was a good selector, and two, this I did it for the love of it, not waited for the big money to come along.
There you go. There you hit the nail on the head, there, Merv.
They pay peanuts to get monkeys, you know.
Yeah, that's at least you matched off air with on air anyway, Juno. That's big of you.
I'll tell you what, Haydos. They must be paying a lot of peanuts because they've got a big monkey now there.
Well, don't talk about backers like that, Rick Marshall.
See, there he goes, passing buck again. But Merv, when I had our sort of significant moment when you dropped me, because Merv was the bloke, by the way, that dropped me from the Australian cricket team.
You weren't that bad a selector after all, Merv.
Down the track now, in all honesty. Yep. I wanted you in the team. It was those other three blokes that did it.
Okay, yeah. That's Junior's line. That's straight. See, same pay. Exactly the same excuse.
Just blame the chairman. That's all you got to do, Merv.
But, Merv, what did you actually say to me? Because it was a slightly different angle than what I was expected.
What did I say to you? I had that many conversations with blokes that you're dropping, and it was a message that was coming from the four selectors. So probably it would have gone along the lines of, listen, Haydos, mate, you're a really good bloke, but you're not making any runs, so we're going to have to pick someone that's going to make runs.
No, it actually wasn't that, Merv. It was, mate, I wanted to keep playing you till you were 50 because that would hurt you a lot more.
That wasn't when you got dropped from the side. That's when I was appointed selector, and we were at, I reckon, at Durham for the one-day game, and I came in. And you walked over and said, I knew it. I knew you were going to be the one to drop me. And I said, mate, I'm going to play you forever because that's going to hurt you more. And Justin Langer heard it and said, I'll have a piece of that. I looked at JL and said, no, it doesn't count for you because you actually want to play cricket.
You learning anything, Junior, here or what?
I wasn't listening.
I talked to Rod Marsh and he said that's Mark Law's standard answer in the selection meeting. So
actually, Merv, we got quite a few things in common. Three things. One, we were both selectors. Two, we opened the bowling together at Lords in a test match, did we not? And three, you actually were my roomie in my first test match. So we got a fair bit in common.
As you know, I always got new blokes into the team.
You made me relax. I peel off 100, didn't I? Ring that bell.
There we go. There's his 100 bell. I tell you what, we're 10 minutes into the show and he's already got one away.
Incredible. Congratulations, Junior.
Thanks, Swanee.
And Mark, he's also brought up the fact that he's a new ball bowler at the national level. Just quickly, Swanee in the UK, is it as much of a circus with the English selectors and their relationships with players? Because this all, as a fan, this all sounds ridiculous.
Well, we don't tend to have sort of recent ex-players as selectors. So there's a lot of distance. You hardly know the guys who are doing that over here, so you can't really get angry with them. I'm sure that's a pretty good thing, because if I'd been dropped by Merv Hughes, I'd be absolutely fuming, but I'd never tell him.
All right, Merv, so you're back in Australia now, having been on the junket there for a couple of test matches, right? You are back in Oz?
Yeah, back in Oz for this test match, and then head back to the UK for the fifth test, a 2020 and two of the one days.
Any more reality shows coming up, Merv? We can see you on. You've been on about half a dozen.
I certainly hope so, Junior. Listen, Channel 10 came to you and said, listen, we've got a few blokes there. We've got no eye candy for the girls, so can you come on?
Brilliant.
Can you wear a shirt next time? Yeah, a little bit
please,
more
please. Please, or get a wax.
Can I just state the obvious? If you knew I wasn't wearing a shirt, Junior, what were you doing watching the show? Seriously, no one
there
else
we go.
Yeah,
good point, Merv. Very good point.
Mate, as part of my Channel 10 Big Bash contract, I had to watch that show.
Merv Hughes, thanks for joining us. Always so much fun to chat with Big Merv on Willow Talk. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, thanks,
cheers,
Lee.
Guys. Thanks, mate. I'm Swanee. Thanks,
June. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, mate. See good you, on your belt.
Coming up, Graham Swan has his trivia questions ready for Mark Waugh. It is Stump Junior. How do we feel he'll go this week, Swanee?
I'm just going to look at the questions now. I spent ages writing them down.
Okay.
And I've forgotten. No, he's screwed this week, I reckon.
He's just looking at his phone
these
now.
These are hard. These are properly hard. Wow.
Proper great. Questions. That's good.
Okay, we'll
test
him.
I'm banking on three.
Next. He's looking for at least three out of five, which is normal average. It's coming up. On Willow Talk, make sure you play along with Stump Junior. It's good for the cricket fans who always beat him, which is great. It's Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk, Mark Waugh, Graham Swan and Matthew Hayden. It is time for Stump Junior. This is where Swanee asks Junior a range of cricket trivia questions and Matthew Hayden laughs at his answers. That's basically how it works.
Yeah, it's pointless. It's actually one of the pointless segments, this, because Mark definitely has the answers
just,
in front of him.
You just keep out of it. It's me and Swanee, mate. You just have a rest there, right? Okay?
And I'm
I'm having Hayden on my side here. This is definitely right, fixed. Okay. But I'll tell you what, we're going to find out. Because this first question, if Mark Waugh knows the answer to this, then I don't think we should carry on with the feature because he's blatantly fixed.
Okay. Oh. All right, here we go.
So here we go. You ready, question Junior?
One. I'm ready, mate. Fire away.
Question number one. Which two actors starred as Donald Bradman and English captain Douglas Jardine in the 1984 Bodyline TV miniseries?
Ooh, it was a good show too. Very good show.
Great
show.
Yeah,
it was popular. It was popular.
Do you remember the greatest fast bowler England ever have, Harold Larwood, started his run-up with a little skip in the air?
That's right. lived in Coogee too. Lived in Coogee, Douglas Jardine. Not Douglas Jardine, Harold Larwood. Do you know that?
Bit of extra trivia. Yeah, it's another question.
I did, yeah.
Well done.
Yeah,
okay. Look, this is tough. I'm pretty confident I know who Don Bradman's actor was, and that was Gary Sweet.
Yeah, that's correct. That is correct.
Douglas Jardine, I've got no idea.
All right.
But I'm the only two Australian actors I know apart from Gary Sweet are Mel Gibson and Hugh Jackman. So was it one of them?
Jacko was a bit young at that point.
It was actually an Englishman.
Oh, well, there you go.
Wasn't that Hugo
no
Weaving?
No idea. So I've got one. So I get half a point for that.
Yeah, I'll give you half.
Who was
point.
It?
Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, know him. Know him well.
Mr. Smith, isn't he? In The Matrix. Him,
anyway, yeah. So Junior's on half, and he doesn't know who Hugo Weaving is. We've just learned that as well. Okay. Question two.
I get half for that?
Yes.
Okay, question two. No, you get none for that. In 1989, David Boone hit the winning runs to regain the Ashes at Old Trafford. Who was his partner at the other end? Ooh. And you can have that half point if you get his score as well.
Mm. I don't know his score. Well, that's not the question, so I don't have to get that. Thanks, Swanee. Well, it was someone at the top of the order because we weren't too many chasing that score in the second dig. So I reckon it's either Jeff Marsh or Mark Taylor. Mark Taylor.
Oh, beautiful.
Got it.
Shocked me.
Well thank
done.
You.
Shocked me.
I'm off the mark with
one well done, or well one and a half, depending on who you listen
wasn't
to.
That hard,
the whole of Australia is applauding this, by the way.
It's the way that we're on Skype so we can see each other, and every time I ask a question, I see you look down and pick a piece of paper. That's what's giving it away
mate,
for
I'm
me.
I'm just concentrating, writing things down.
Okay, question three.
Question number three. Oh, God, I didn't read this one before. Who's written these this week? This is pathetic.
Well, you're supposedly the guy that writes them.
I can't believe I wrote this one this week. It's pathetic. Which cricket club's members and based at what ground are famous for their egg and bacon ties?
Well, that is a tough one.
Nothing tough about it.
It's a simple.
Just get it. Let's move on.
The old egg and bacon ties. Right. I've got one actually. I've got an egg and bacon tie.
Yeah.
Well, that's Lords, obviously. MCC Cricket Club.
Oh, beautiful.
Yep. Well done.
Thank you.
Correct.
What does MCC stand for?
Marylebone Cricket Club.
Correct.
Thank you.
Oh, you don't. I else? Thought we might get you somehow.
Mate,
it's actually Marylebone, but
I played for MCC myself, and I was on the Lords ground staff. So,
geez, you would have been whinging. Imagine him on the roller. Oh, what am I doing this for?
Exactly. I was there to improve my cricket, and I was Bloody yeah, doing frivolous activities like that.
England's greatest ever all-rounder, Ian Botham, he was on the Lords ground staff as a youngster. And one of the privileges of being a member, you can turn up at any time and say, right, I want a net. And these kids have to come and bowl at you. Ian Botham used to go up and practice in-swinging bouncers at these old codgers. He did.
Well, I'll actually
give me two of your boys to bowl at me. So he ran up bowl in-swinging bumpers to take face three balls. Oh, very well done, young man. I think that's enough.
Question four, please, Swanee.
Question four. I didn't cover myself in silver this time either, sorry. Which four Australian players retired from tests at the end of Australia's 5-0 Ashes series victory over England in 2006-07?
Four Aussie players retired.
Jeez, I'm going to get too easy. McGrath and Warne.
Yeah.
A few wickets went down the tube there, retiring.
Yep. It was a very sad day in my life as well this June. That might be a bit of a
Well,
tip.
I know why, because Justin Langer is the third one.
Correct.
Your little boyfriend retiring. Yeah. the fourth one. Oh, geez, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with the fourth one.
He was a better player than you. Yeah,
was he?
Was, yeah.
I don't know about that.
Think hard.
Impossible.
Well, it's got to be the Don then.
Don Bradman.
Incorrect.
I can't get the fourth one, Swanee.
It was Daniel Martin.
Got him. Yes.
Question five to wrap things up, Swanee, in Stump Junior.
Okay. Warnie is coming up on the show soon, but name the three batsmen he got out for his hat-trick in 1994 at the MCG.
Oh, well, I was filling at silly mid-off, so I remember this very, very clearly. Philip de Freitas was the first one. Might have been LBW, Mr. Straight one. D. Goff, the second one, just pushing one nervously outside off-stump caught by Ian Healy. And the last one, Devon Malcolm. Yes, caught, bat, well pad, done. D. Boone. Got Thank off. You very much.
What a
Too
catch
easy.
As well. What a catch.
Was a good catch.
Yep, great work. 3 points. Was it about 3.75? I think, Swanee, for Junior this week.
Yeah, I think I'm actually. I'm gonna raise my game. I'm gonna actually write my own questions next week rather than rely on you guys. They're getting easier and easier. This is ridiculous. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
That's it for Stump Junior. Warnie,
but well done, Mark. Well done.
Yeah, thanks.
Great work.
Dude.
Much
thank
improved.
You, thank you.
Warnie is not far away as our special guest on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk. Graham Swan in the UK, Mark Waugh and Matthew Hayden. It's Byron Cook over here. I will play judge in this one. Tell me something we didn't know is the segment. All three of you will tell a story, and whoever goes the deepest and makes fans of cricket go, no way, I can't believe that, wins. Swanee, you're going to open the innings.
Okay. My one is about boot camps and how we never used to do them as an England side, but the reason they came into focus. So, before the 2009 Ashes, Andy Flower decided he needed to get all the boys to have a bit of perspective on life. So we went over to Belgium, to Ypres, which is a First World War battlefield. Very sombre, very nice place. But we went for 2 nights and stayed in a lovely hotel. So after the first day of looking around and being taught around the trenches, we popped out for a quick beer. Have you ever had Belgian beer? It's about 15%. And it got to the point where, as a few of us sort of tried to walk back to the hotel and not do very well, one of us, Andrew Flintoff, stayed out. Come 9 o'clock the next morning, when we're supposed to go for the somber, service and everything, six of us late for the bus, having to get phone calls, people drag us out of bed, no idea where Andrew Flintoff is, can't get hold of him. When we get back at 11:30, he's just about rising, eyes bleary, oh, what time we're leaving, wow. And because of that, the next time the Ashes came round, we went to Germany to a field and got absolutely flogged senseless for 4 days. No hotels, no Belgian beer. Absolutely killed.
That's a contender. That is a very solid start as we
that's
go to
yeah,
Junior.
Well, yep. Remarkably, my story is quite similar. It's about a camp before an Ashes tour, and it's actually over in Europe as well. And it is before the 2001 Ashes tour. Stephen Tugger-Waugh was the captain, and he loves the motivation and the team bonding. And we actually went to Gallipoli on the way to England. So, something really special.
Pretty amazing
going to
place.
Gallipoli, and what a great opportunity. So, unlike Freddie Flintoff and the Poms who got legless, we actually we didn't go there to drink and, be merry, but we went there to experience Gallipoli and what it was all about. And it was a great couple of days, really. Great motivation for the upcoming Ashes.
You remember that photo that we took as well, June?
Well, that's what I'm about to tell, Haydos. We actually, you've taken my punchline.
Sorry, buddy.
This is a tell me we somebody didn't know controversy.
We actually reenacted a photo of the Anzacs playing cricket up on the hill. So, there was about 15, 18 of the Anzacs in different fielding positions and some batting and bowling, some like in positions at gully and square leg, and we all reenacted, each of us, one of the specific spots on that hill. So that's my story. We reenacted the photo playing cricket in Gallipoli up on the top of the hill. So
that's amazing. Matt almost took it from
you
there.
Yeah, he did. Sorry. That's all right.
Junior, now over to you for your formal story.
I'll try and take his one now.
As you, you've got some good stories there to go up against.
Yeah, so, Cookie, mine's about how much time we spent away on tours together as players and I guess as commentators as well. You spend a lot of time in each other's back pocket, but there's two personalities, and we've often had him on the show, Jeffrey Boycott, who's featured heavily on the show, but there's two personalities that you don't want to put together in the same room, and that's Matthew Hayden and Jeffrey Boycott, as I established in the 2009 Ashes series at Edgbaston. It was a pretty slow game, rain-affected game, draw game, so lots of time. I was over there commentating with Channel 5 and also Test Match Special. And the first time that I'd met Jeffrey was in the little booth there, and he said, "Oh, son, you know, sit down and just enjoy the show," basically. So after about 5 minutes of him talking about how great he was and talking about uncovered wickets, which is an absolutely famous subject of his, he just loves it, doesn't he, Swan? He just loves that
topic. He does.
And his final remark was that Shane Warne would have been a terrible bowler on uncovered wickets. So my very first comment was, "Well, Jeffrey," picking up the mic, "well, Jeffrey, I completely disagree." At which point in time, Jeffrey got his mic, he threw it down onto the actual little bench and stormed off out of the room.
Whoa.
So the left of the guy on the panel were left scrambling away. And I'm there just holding court now, and I said, "Well, Jeffrey's now left the room. I'm sorry, guys." The reason why I disagree is because, you know, Warnie obviously could turn the ball on ice. And if he was on uncovered wickets, it would turn miles. Anyway, cut a long story short, I went back into the commentary booth and he's giving me donuts in Channel 5 commentary booth. I say, "Jeffrey, I think you and I, bud, better go outside." He says, "Why would I have to go outside with you?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you why, because I'm here for another 5 weeks and it's going to be the worst 5 weeks of your life if we don't go outside right now and sort this out. So get out here." So he comes out and he says, "Well, I must have done something right, you know," in words to that effect. He says, "You've completely disrespected me." I said, "Mate, I'll tell you how I first knew Jeffrey Boycott. I was at the tractor up in Dad's shed, had a little transistor radio. We never saw any television. And I was listening to ABC Grandstand here in Australia talking about the great Jeffrey Boycott. And I always thought, whilst you're incredibly boring, I always thought that you're an amazing player. And I can tell you what we should do. If you think I've disrespected it, let's go down and get the transcript and see exactly what it is that has offended you. Because, or we can actually do another thing and that shake hands and move forward. Because I reckon that out of respect for you, you have to also respect us and our era." Anyway, he presented his hand and said, "Yep, that'll do me." Shook hands. And since that day, we've got on fine.
I'm gonna go and pick a fight with Jeffrey Boycott today, just so I can have a story like that.
Now, we had Graham Swan with the story of Flintoff's drunken 2009 boot camp no-show, which I thought was outstanding. Mm. Your Anzac story was fantastic, Junior.
Reenactment of the photo,
yeah. But the good news is, guys, to present Matthew Hayden with his award this week for telling the best story in Tell Me Something We Didn't Know, Jeffrey Boycott is actually here. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, he's
Jeffrey, yes. Can you present him the trophy?
Yeah, Matthew. I've always liked him. He calls a spade a shovel, and I like that. The only problem is he thought that Warnie could bowl on uncovered pitches. Let me tell you, modern players don't know they're born. Covers on pitches and not play when it's raining. No rest days. Unbelievable. Well
Thank
done,
you,
Matthew.
Jeffrey. There we go. Matthew Hayden is the winner. Jeffrey Boycott with an emotional presentation. This is Willow Talk, and Shane Warne, he is on next as our special guest.
The first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with willow and leather ever since. Now, Ashes winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior Waugh have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Another big hour on Willow Talk. Matthew Hayden, Graham Swan and Mark Waugh. Byron over here, look at that. The phone line is flashing.
Ooh, the Warne file.
Oh, the Warne seat. Doesn't mind a phone call, does he? or a phone.
Warney, Shane Warne is our guest right after this on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Graham Swan and Matthew Hayden. Well, our next guest, in 2000, selected by a panel of cricket experts as one of the five Wisden cricketers of the century, 708 test wickets and countless Ashes memories. Remember this?
Here we go. Fleming took the last one. Merv Hughes before him.
Yes! Oh, he's got him! He's gone! Yes, he has! He's got him! It's a hat-trick! Yes, he's gone! He's gone! It's a hat-trick! That's a hat-trick to Shane Warne. A great moment in his career. What a catch by David Boone.
We have Warney on the line, guys.
How are you, Warney?
Hey, Shane. How are you doing?
Warney, it reminds me a lot of 2005. You know, like key players, you played brilliantly in that series, but a lot of us were struggling in that series. It sort of, it's got that kind of feel about it. It's just, I don't know what it is about it. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, look, the 2005 series was amazing. It was some unbelievable cricket on display. The skill from both teams, the camaraderie, the sportsmanship, and all that was fantastic. It really did capture the public's imagination. This one, there's a lot of interest about it because Australia's been playing so well leading up to this series. And after the last series of 5-0 whitewash in Australia, England have come back this summer and played aggressive cricket. They're playing some excellent stuff. But there is a lot of support here at the moment. It's Ashes fever. There's a lot happening. And basically, it's two pretty evenly matched teams.
Well, Warney Jr. here, mate. How are you? That's Haydos asking serious questions. We don't normally ask serious questions on this
usually.
Show.
So
yeah,
that's
enough for you, Haydos. Hey, Warney, what are you up to these days, mate? You're doing some commentary, your poker. What do you enjoy doing most these days?
Yeah, I am.
Golf?
Golf. Golf is going okay at the moment. I'll take you down, Jude.
What is your handicap at this stage?
10.5,
that is 11. That's B grade, I think, 11. I thought you'd be an A grader by now, Warney.
No, I'm not. But, I'd still like to get you out there. On the
Mate,
track.
I would too, because you bet up too, so I might have to practice and win a bit of coin there. I wouldn't mind that. What else? The poker? How do you go there?
I went back to Las Vegas for the poker, mate. Since I retired in 2007, the last 8 years, I've played a fair bit of poker. I've been on the circuit, played 6 to 7 tournaments a year.
Are you winning money or losing money?
Yeah, well, I cashed in the World Series this year, so that was pretty exciting. Got down the last 10%, which was pretty amazing after, you know, nearly 7,000 entrants.
That is a good
effort. And I came 500 and something. So, yeah, no, it's great, mate. I absolutely love that. And I just want to get better at everything. I love my poker. I love my foundation that I'm doing. Got sponsorship, a bit of cricket commentary. Putting together this cricket all-stars that hopefully going to play in America later this year with Sachin.
Junior get a gig in that or what?
I think I might be a bit old, am I? Can't I be batting coach or
Junior,
something?
Warning?
Batting coach or?
Mate, I reckon you can get a gig. I reckon I'm going to get you a gig.
Not as a selector, though.
Peel the oranges or something?
Would you be interested in one Graham Swan, Shane Warne? I mean, he'd love a bit of Hollywood cricket. I would have thought, Swanee, get involved in the all-star project, mate.
I'm in.
Swanee's already in, mate. Swanee's there.
He's locked and loaded. Sorry, June.
Is Haydos in too, is he?
Of course, Jumbo. Jesus.
Haydos is in. Maybe you could carry both their bags, June.
Oh, yeah. Please.
Warney is on the line. We're going to spend some more time with Shane Warne right after this. You're listening to Willow Talk. He's one of the five Wisden cricketers of the century, and he is our guest on Willow Talk this morning. It is Shane Warne.
We're talking about boot camps earlier in the show, and I think you're involved in a boot camp somewhere.
It's a good idea, wasn't it?
How'd you go on your boot camp for Australia?
Mate, what the biggest load of rubbish that was. All that bullshit. I already knew I had to play quick, quick and soft. I didn't need a
All right, Warney, we got the old predictive bleeper, so you're fine, mate.
Whoops, sorry about that.
Who was the coach in that? Was that John Buchanan who did that boot camp?
Oh, mate.
You didn't you? I reckon a boot camp should be on a golf course, shouldn't it?
Mate, my biggest thing with all that stuff is, if you seriously want the boys to get together, lock them in a pub, let them get absolutely smashed, and they'll speak to each other, as simple as that. That's all you need to do for a big
there
night.
You
walk away saying, I love you very much, and that's it, all done.
I think Warner's hit the nail on the head there.
You don't need to go out the bush and get bombs thrown at you at 12 o'clock. Come on, let's go look at the stars. Come on, seriously. I just lit up my first dart, too.
Talking about your fitness, Warney, how do you keep so fit? I reckon you're going to be like the Nutty Professor one day. You're just going to blow up. How do you keep so fit? And Slim, what's going on? We're all blowing out and you're keeping Slim like Slim Dusty.
Speak to yourself, June.
Well, no, my diet's not bad these days.
Yeah, my pineapple pizza, baked beans, what else? Cheese sandwiches?
Yeah, there's a bit of that stuff. There's a few lamb chops here and there, mate. I'd say what else? There's a lot of activities at night time. I do a lot of my gym sessions at night time.
Really? Yeah.
That six pack would be going right, I reckon.
And Warnie,
yeah,
be
well, you're in good touch.
Warnie, be thankful you don't have the webcams that we have, because Swanee just for some reason felt the need to go shirtless there, and it was not a pleasant sight at all. Warnie,
he loves getting his gear off, actually. Swanee, he's
well, Haydos knows I've got this ability to puff out my belly massively.
Talking about people who like to get their gear off.
Yeah, Haydos is.
Well, I'll tell you
now. How good was Haydos at getting?
I loved it. I loved it. But I tell you what, just confirm it. How didn't Junior like to get his gear off? They never saw him naked ever.
Not in front of you, Haydos, anyway. I was a bit worried about
you. Did you ever see him nude, Warnie? That's what I'm asking.
I think Warnie might have, actually.
No, it's a very good point, Haydos. I remember how many times after a test match, you know, shower, let's go out for a beer. Junior would have a towel over his face, yes. A towel around his body, and just hide in the shower, wait till everyone finished. Oh,
snuck off into the shower, didn't he?
This show's been going for 6 weeks, and I reckon every single show we've mentioned this about Junior.
Mate. That's it. That's all I want is the truth,
let's,
okay?
Let's get a few more questions to Warnie about...
Okay, come on, mate. What
else you got? Warnie, you famously took 41 wickets against England in 2005. That was in a day when they were starting to be aggressive. These days, they just tee off at everything. How many would you get against this current crop? I reckon you're pushing 50.
I think the spinners at the moment, I mean, 20, all of us spinners that would play at the moment in the current form, you might go for 4 or 5 and over, but you'd take a lot of wickets. It'd be a lot more fun. You'd bowl your 15, 20 overs, and you'd probably get 6 for...
Again. It's okay. Again, we predicted that.
Mate,
right.
All you'd have to do is bowl your flipper, because the Poms just used to think that was a half tracker and go to pull it. Just bowl the flipper.
Good old Alex Stewart.
Clean them right up.
I think there's a lot of easy wickets out there at the moment, that's for sure.
The Sherman, you get him out, Warnie, wouldn't you?
Mate, I'll tell you what, he looks like a Stiffmeister at the moment after last test match. He's a Stiffler, I think. he's on fire at the moment, the Stiffmeister. I think he has to get put back in his box and be the Shermanator again.
Now, Warnie, mate, great that you could take some time for Willow talk. Now, what is the push, mate? Is there anything we can do about this All-Star thing, or is that something that's just a work in progress? The poker, what's something we can throw out there that people can get involved in right now?
Right now, the best thing that I could ask for, if people wouldn't mind getting behind the Shane Warne Foundation, we've got a September 10 back in Melbourne at the MCG. We've got a footy finals lunch. And in the foundation, we've raised over $7 million so far for seriously ill and underprivileged children.
Wow.
We just had a wonderful event here in Lourdes. And our next event is back in Melbourne, September 10. So people can go onto the website at the tswf.com.au and check out, buy a table, support the event would be fantastic.
Tremendous work, Warnie.
Fingers crossed for an Aussies win this test match. Sorry, yeah, all down the oval is pretty cool.
Great stuff. Appreciate it, mate. We'll let you get back to it.
Apologies to anyone that's listening about Haydos' swearing. Thanks very much,
guys. Thanks very much, Shane Warne. Coming up next, it is Swanee's Wrong, and this is where Graham Swan impersonates another cricketer. It's always entertaining. You'll be trying to guess who he is impersonating Junior and Haydos.
Good luck
with that.
Yep.
On Willow Talk is coming up next. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan. It is that time, Swanee's Wrongin. And Swanee's Wrongin is when he throws down an impression of another cricketer. There's been some outstanding impressions over the last few weeks.
Very consistent.
I'd say the bar is very high.
It is. A bit of pressure on Swanee this week. I mean, Kevin Peterson, that impression, people thought it was Kevin Peterson, and it made worldwide headlines.
It went global.
Yeah, incredible. So anyway, Swanee, this is where you have to slip out of the studio and bring in your, in inverted commas, special guest. And then Junior and Haydos will try and guess
who
it is.
We'll welcome you, Mitt.
Actually, Swanee's already gone out of the room.
Really?
I'm already in. How you going, guys?
Well, so you're good. Australian, are you?
You're an Aussie, are you?
Oath, mate.
What state are you from? You're from Victoria, New South Wales? Where are you from?
I'm from the only state in Australia, Victoria, but then I moved to Tassie.
Oh, you batter or bowler?
Quickest bowler never to play for Australia, mate.
Never to play for Australia.
And what sort of age
but
bracket?
But I won 2 Ashes, nonetheless.
What? You won 2 Ashes?
2 Ashes, play. But didn't play, June.
So some sort of, he's a coach, obviously, or a
how do you know that?
Fitness trainer.
Well, how do you win an Ashes?
Is he a coach? Is he a coach?
I am a coach, a head coach now. And I can't remember if I ever bowled at you, but I would have definitely got Junior out.
If you did, you would have got a touch-up, surely. this is a tough one, Haydos.
It is. Because
sounds like Oscar.
Have you got my great mate Warney on the TV?
You played with Warney, did you?
He's my great mate. Was he on the radio?
Yeah, he was a guest on the show.
Okay, so we're sort of thinking about bowler and from Victoria, right? So Paul Rifle is one option that we got.
Pistol had a really soft, gentle voice. Didn't talk much.
No, he was pretty quiet when he yelled Pistol. Good umpire now, very good.
It's not Merv Hughes, obviously.
Merv's no chance, no.
Tony Dottermaid, no.
Dodders, no. Current CEO of the VCA. Good bloke, good bowler, good player.
Damien Flem. It's not Damien Flem, we know.
No.
We didn't play for Australia. It's got to be the most low-profile Swanee's Roman we've had for a while.
Gee, this is a tough
Sled
one, I reckon.
Field, I'll give you that.
You're a good sledger.
The best in the game.
The best in the game.
You're tough. You talk tough. You've got tattoos and you're pretty tough.
Yep, I've got my tattoo on my leg.
We haven't had to concede, but I'm feeling like the segment can't go any longer.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you, Hayden.
I haven't got him.
All right.
I can't get him.
Please reveal yourself. Swanee's Roman. Who are we talking to?
Oh, that was actually David Saker, who's just popped out of the room.
Well, that was
and may I just say before we move on, Sakes, I am sorry, that was awful.
Was it that bad though, Cookie?
No, I reckon it was all right.
David, get out. You're already out.
The trouble is you never hear him talk much, no, David Saker.
I've got some audio here, guys.
Okay, got him, okay.
Of the actual David Saker, so we can match up the real David Saker to Swanee's David Saker. I've just learned who David Saker is, which is fantastic. Here we go.
It was a great day of test match cricket. Had its fluctuations. At times it was quite hard for us. Obviously that opening partnership from Rogers and Watson was very good for them, but we knew if we stuck at it, wickets would come, and you know, on that sort of surface you can get multiple wickets quickly, and that's what
it sounded nothing like him.
I tell you, that sounds like spot on. I tell you what, now I've heard
it,
I think
Shannon
I actually Noel. Nailed it.
It does actually, June. Not a bad shout.
Shannon
Knowlesy.
Husky country voice.
There we go.
Sound like Shannon.
Punch out. Well, a bit of K-Sand, mate.
You've got a feel for me a bit. You've got him there being interviewed on the TV, and I had him shouting in the nets in the change room. And trust me, shouts in the nets, he sounds exactly like my impression.
Swanee, a joker. What are you doing, mate?
You wouldn't have listened to him.
Bloody leg spin.
No, I tell you what, though, he's the head coach for the Renegades now, and if you don't know him before, you'll know him soon. He is an absolute legend of a bloke, a hero, David Saker.
David Saker, hero. There we go. That is Swanee's Roman. Your Ashes moments coming up. The three of you blokes will share Ashes moments next on Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk with Graham Swan, Matthew Hayden, and Mark Junior War. It is that time for you guys to share your Ashes moments, and actually, thanks to Flight Centre, be prepared and book early at Flight Centre. We didn't get the chance to ask any of our guests their quirky preparation habits, but the good thing is, Haydos' story is to do with your Ashes moment, the way you prepared for a game, Matt.
Well, it was all about preparation, that's right. And this one in particular, we've heard it talked about a few times during the show, and that was boot camps of various stages. So Warney in particular, he's in the lead up to the 2005-2006 Ashes series, where we went down famously in 2005. Boot camp was called, which Warney was just horrified about. He reckoned that the only good coach was the one that you travel on the ground, so he was blaming John Buchanan, who called it. We started off in Brisbane, middle of winter, or pretty much. We went out to a RAF base at about 4:30 in the morning at Amberley. Oh. It was freezing cold. Warney didn't have one of the essential ingredients, even though it was Queensland, still gets pretty cold. He didn't have a jacket, so I lent him one of those stormy jackets, those self-inflatable ones that when you sort of roll over in boats and stuff, you need, which obviously I had experience about. So I lent him that. But we arrived, we were all lined up, we all had numbers on our back from 1 to 30, and straight away, the sergeant said, okay, what we've got to do is we've got to go in through this, look like an aircraft hangar. You're to go in by your number, walk in line, and don't talk. Number one was me. Walked in, had to unravel everything, get rid of all clothes, out of bags, go strip down to your undies. That was the comment. No talking. Warney was the last in. So he comes in with a really bad attitude. He's sulking.
What a surprise.
And he unpacks his bag. He strips down to his undies. And, of course, his undies were actually white in colour, and they were Playboy undies. We've seen them famously. At the one side, the sergeant said, look, you've got to have an area where you have your medicinal drugs. So he's got these drugs to the side, which were two packets of full decks of special filtered Benson Hedges. So senior sergeant comes up, sort of steps on his toes and says, "What are they?" Warnie says, "What? Are you effing blind, are you?" Straight away, we're down doing push-ups. So he starts talking to the senior sergeant, and he cuts a deal right there. He says to him, "Mate, I'm telling you right now, if they don't go, the king doesn't go on boot camp." so he broke him within the space of about 30 seconds. But it went on and on this whole day, and it culminated in the end. We had night orienteering, as Warnie was talking about before. Right at the end of the night, I see him sucking on a Benson and Hedges, and he says, "Buck, you're an absolute genius." He says, "I've learnt three things already in just 24 hours of this crap boot camp." He says, "I'm soft, I'm weak, and I want to go home."
Oh, wow.
That was good, hey?
There's an Ashes moment. Swanny, you got one?
Not really, not after that.
Not after that. Wow.
Well, I tell you what, mine's one, and you probably all heard it before, because Ian Healy said it on a radio show the other night, and it just made me smile from ear to ear. I was on about who was your favourite to keep against of all the English, and he said, "Oh, mate, it has to be Robin Smith." And I went, "Oh, right, Robin Smith, what a player." And he was telling the story about he was so bad against spin, against Shane Warne in particular. He couldn't pick it. I mean, those who remember Robin Smith, the best player at quick bowling, hit an absolute tug, awful against Warne. And he got to the point where Warne would be at the top of his mind going, "Mate, this one's a leg spinner." Smith would be there, and he'd run up and bowl.
Can't
and
Smith be, it can't be.
It. Yeah. No, there's no way that's a leg spinner. Yeah. And play it. You go, "Mate, I told you it was a leg spinner. This next one is going to be the googly, mate. Turn the other way." Thinking, absolutely no chance. Play outside the line, googly. Because it got to the point where he was just going, "Hey, mate, he's giving you all the chance you can. What do you want?" He goes, "Well, I thought he must be winding me up." That's it.
Oh, June, they're two of the best stories I've ever heard.
That is not a bad tactic, though, because you don't know whether it's going to be the fair dinkum ball,
the double bluff,
or wind up.
Yeah.
Not a bad tactic. No,
good tactic.
Well, mine aren't funny. Your two stories are funny. Mine is Trent Bridge, 2013, first test of the series. Ashton Agar gets picked from nowhere.
Yeah, nowhere, was he? Real bolter.
He'd only played, I think, about three or four first-class games. So he's 19 years of age, comes in at number 11 in the batting order. In the first innings, he gets 98 off 101 balls batting at number 11.
Yeah, incredible,
I think he put on about 160, 170 with Philip Hughes.
That's right, yeah.
Poor Philip, who... He got about 70 or 80, I think, in that partnership. They put on a big stand. So
my memory of it. You couldn't mesmerize.
It was incredible.
And Swanee, you play a party, you bloody will caught him out. Where were you? You were fielding out at deep square leg or something like that?
Deep mid wicket, yeah. Took a magnificent catch, diving forward. Not many people in the game.
What did you do that for?
We got a ding.
I tell you why I did it. And I got so much abuse as well on social media, everything saying, "Oh, you shouldn't have celebrated. You know, it's disgusting." Which, for a first instance,
what are you
shut
talking
up.
About? Yeah.
I know. But Agar was stumped off me on about 7 when he first came in. Played and missed at one. Because he walked in, you're thinking, "Who's this? Number 11, left-hander. I'm going to get him out." One of the first balls I bowled, played and missed. His back foot was, you know, outside the crease. And Matt Pryor took the bails off. Third umpire, when the actual third umpire, you know, it comes on the big screen, the picture came up. And the umpire at mine, I think it was Alim Dar, saw the picture, gave me my cap, said, "Well done, well bowled." And we started walking off, and we got three quarters of the way off, and then you can hear in the radio the third umpire go, no, I'm not sure, there's doubt. And with Alim Dar going, no doubt, out, that is out.
Got him.
But the third umpire gave it, not out, and we all had to wander back on, and they kept replaying this screen for about the next 2 hours as Agar's smashing it everywhere, and I keep looking at this screen getting angrier and angrier. And so when I caught him, I threw the ball in the air, and I don't know what I yelled, but it wasn't very complimentary. I felt really guilty, so I did the PR thing. I sprinted off and shook his hand on the way off. through gritted teeth. Well played, mate. Really well done.
Well, it didn't matter because you've really taken over my story. But to finish off the story, Australia lost that test by 14. I think we needed 300 and something in the last innings to win that test, and Brad Haddin was the last man out for about 70 or 80. So that was a great test match at Trent Bridge. But Ashton Agar, 98 on debut as a number 11.
Yeah, good effort.
You will not see that again.
That was a sensation.
It'll not happen again.
I mean, that went across the board. Everyone was talking about that. People who weren't even fans of cricket were talking about Ashton Agar that day. That was huge. All right, guys, great show. Thanks very much to Shane Warne. Yeah. What a guest Warney was. Loose cannon, Warney. So that was fun.
Cannon.
Loose.
And of course, Big Merv, who joined us in the first hour of the show. We are back same time next week. Mark Wall, Graham Swan, and Matthew Hayden, Byron Cook over here. It is Willow Talk.